You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Should Christians own guns for self-defense? So this has become anyway. Pell, I have to be live on Facebook. So we have to redo that. Let me add my pastor also onto the stream. We are live. We are live. Let me restart my introduction there, right? So, should Christians own guns for self-defense? Should Christians own guns for self-defense? So, this has become an interesting debate from many sectors in our societies. Christians are called to be vanguards of peace and peacemakers in a world that is full of violence and evil. The contrast between what we are called to represent and the reality of our world today poses a challenge to owning a weapon for self-defense and other non-violent purposes, right? So most communities have been infested with crimes to a point where homes are highly guarded more than our hearts. So for us to understand better, for us to look at this particular topic, I hope that you have your Bibles. I have mine ready. Your pastor is looking at my Bible. I have my Bible ready. I have my notes, and my pen and my paper, because we're joined on the line, you know, by my pastor. But I have to do a proper introduction, you know. He is a seasoned pastor, you know. We are joined by Pastor Chiwanda, who's going to be helping us, you know, unpack most of these issues there. So if you do have a question, if you do have a question that you or you want him to clarify something on the things that he's going to be saying, the number to dial is +27734703520. We can also go there through as well to our Facebook page and YouTube pages where we are live broadcasting there. Pastor Chiwanda, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening. I'm quite well. And how are you, sister?
I am good. I'm so happy. You know, today I'm dealing with seasoned pastor, so I'm behaving. I'm at my most behavior, good behavior.
You look quite excited.
Yeah. Pastor, and I have to declare ahead of time, I don't own a gun, but I'm just saying I'm excited.
That's good.
Indeed. So, Mpundisi, before we start the conversation, I'm going to ask that can you please pray for us so that, you know, we may work within the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this evening that you can give us this opportunity to discuss your word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with each one of us, us who are discussing on the radio, Adventist World Radio, and also those that are watching and participating from around the world. May you bless each one of the participants in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we're looking at this topic because, you know, in my introduction, our communities are infested with a lot of crimes, right? Whether you are driving, whether they come and burgle your home, you know, it's just too much. So should, as Christians, should we own guns for self-defense? Should we own them?
That's a very important question. Hello.
Yes, Pastor.
Are you getting me?
Yes, you are clear, Mfundiswa. Right. Yes.
I want to answer that question. Should we own or carry guns?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is in two forms.
Okay.
As a human being, as a legal entity, you might give yourself the right to own a gun because of the environment in which you live.
Yes.
Probably because also of what you view as risks or threats around you. And you say, I can't do without a weapon. I need to be armed to help myself. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of human sense. You get it?
Yeah.
A lot of human sense. Because you have the human right, isn't it? The right to protect yourself. You have that right. So it makes a lot of human sense. So I would say, yes, humanly speaking, and as a legal right.
Okay.
Yes. But biblically, as a Christian, as a child of God, strictly no. Strictly no.
Okay.
Strictly no.
Yeah.
Strictly no. You don't have to keep a gun on a gun, go around with a gun. What for? What for?
Ah, Pundisi. Okay. So,
what for?
So you've said legally.
Have I lost you or you are still there?
I'm shocked. I'm here. I'm just shocked. So I'm bringing it back, Mfundiswam. So you are saying.
Have some network problems?
No. Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes, I can hear you as well.
But there's a network problem from. Okay, that's good.
Yes. So you are saying legally we can own guns, but as children of God, we cannot own guns.
You don't know. We don't have to. Why should we?
Protection.
I'm saying that because of the fact that Jesus himself has given us teachings that when well understood, you can't keep a gun. You can't even collect it and walk around with it.
Okay.
When you understand Jesus, he taught by precept and by example.
Mm-hmm.
He taught by precept and by example.
Mm-hmm.
In his word, he taught us, and also in his life, he demonstrated that he was not a combatant.
Okay.
He could not use any amount of violence. He could not use any amount of, any degree of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you carry a gun, you are saying, I will retaliate. Am I right?
No.
No. When you carry a gun, you are saying, I will retaliate. Am I right?
No. 50, yeah, what partial, partially, partially.
You're carrying a gun because you want to ready yourself to be ready to retaliate, to do something about what is done on you. Am I right?
Yeah, 50% right.
50% right.
Yes.
Give me the other 50% reasoning of the other 50% which you are reserving.
I'm not retaliating, Fundisi. I'm protecting, you know.
Protecting who?
Myself. You know, when they are still coming, let's say in a house, Mfundisi, they are still
who
coming.
Who is yourself?
Ah, me.
In this case, who is yourself?
The child of God. Mfundisi.
No. The child of God is not herself. The child of God is... You're laughing.
Uh-huh.
The child of God is not herself.
Mm-hmm.
The child of God is not himself.
Okay.
The child of God, a child of God is a child of God.
Ah.
You know the text I carried for you? You know the text I carried for you?
Uh-huh.
Isaiah 8 verse 18.
Okay.
You can read it from 18. There.
Okay.
Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, behold me. Behold, I and the children that God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I and the children that God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
We are signs and wonders in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We are signs and wonders in Israel.
Mm.
We are marvelous.
Mm.
We are unique.
Mm.
We are different. We are not common. Mm-hmm. We are not just like any other.
Mm.
We are not mere human beings, and then we end being human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We are children of God. There's some divinity shared with us from above, because we are now children of God.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who is in us is greater than everyone outside us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we are not just as common as we want to regard ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I carry a gun, I'm the same as the other person that carried a gun who is not a Christian.
Hey, I get you.
Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the one who is not a Christian decided to carry a gun because he's not a child of God.
Mm.
But I am a child of God. And as a child of God, my priority, number one, is God and okay. what he says to me.
Mm.
God and what he says to me. That's number one thing in my life. Mm. So, Jesus says, I and the children that God has given me are signs and wonders in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he is saying, we are from above.
Mm.
We belong to the above.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to the kingdom of God, although we are on earth.
Mm.
You get that one?
Yes.
So why should I be going around carrying a gun? Am I not a child of peace?
Pastor.
Welcome.
What? Okay, I want to bring in the book of Luke, now, but before we get to the book of Luke, Pastor. Yes, I'm a child of God. What then happens when I'm attacked? What then do I do when there are burglars coming in into my house? Yes. What do I do?
On the burglars issue, I have a text from the Old Testament.
Okay.
I should share with you.
Yes, please.
It's interesting. Yeah? It's Exodus 22, verse 2 and 3.
22.
Verse 2 and 3.
Okay.
It says, if a thief is caught stealing at night and he's struck with a blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed.
Yes.
You like that one.
Yes.
You like that one.
Yes.
I can see.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
If a thief is caught stealing at night and is struck with a blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
But if this event takes place during day, during daylight, if it happens during daylight, then the defender is guilty of bloodshed. What is the difference? What is the difference?
It's the time.
The time. I get you, the time.
Yes. for me, with this scripture, I know you're going to, I can see that you're going to explain more, right? But from this time, from this particular scripture, for me, yes. it's the time. Meaning yes, that yes. if the burglary, I'm working from home that day, my boss said, Zanele, work from home, and there's someone burglaring my house yes. during the day,
yes.
what do I do? Because I don't have a gun as a Christian, right? As a child of yeah. God. But yeah. if they come at night, yeah. and I own a gun.
Yes.
I can use it. It's, yes. That's okay.
you can use it. You are saying me. You can use it. Or maybe you can also you can use a knife.
Okay.
And hurt him.
Yes. Yeah?
You can use anything that he serves as a weapon in your home. You can use it and deal with the threat that came to you at night, trying to sleep, and this threat came and. You said, what should I do now? You found yourself in problems and you hit that person and he's struck and in the morning there's bloodshed there.
Mm.
The Bible says you are not guilty of the bloodshed.
So we can own the weapons but at then, night.
But then if it is during the day, then you have struck that person and his blood there. You have hurt him. Then you are guilty of his blood because it's during the day. I don't want us to spend too much time trying to understand the day and
the
night.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking that during the day is when the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm.
During the night is when the sun is set and it's dark.
Yes.
We could go into the justice part of it, the legal considerations, but I want to allegorize. You know what to allegorize means?
No.
To get a, to just create a lesson when where there is no lesson.
Okay. Okay.
There is no lesson. There is no lesson in that text.
Mm.
There is no lesson about light in that text.
Okay.
But I am trying to say a child of God is the light of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm allegorizing light there.
Yeah.
Because light there doesn't mean anything. Just means light during the day. But I am saying we are children of light.
Uh-huh.
So whatever happens in the darkness is not part of our exercise.
Ah. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
What the people do at night is not what we are supposed to be doing. We are children of the light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's my allegory there.
Mm-hmm.
A small thing which pastors don't like. Pastors don't like allegorizing, but I have allegorized nicely.
So we have a comment on our Facebook page. If you do also want to watch us and see me and Pastor there, you can go to our Facebook page and YouTube page. I think this is Pastor Kephas. The name is Kephas Piri. He says, yes. Okay. So when faced with physical warfare, how will I fight back to defend my family? Psalm 114 verses 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hand to war and my fingers to fight. Yeah, so how
I
do you have it, Mfundisi?
So, also,
yes, and yeah, we also do, yes, we also have a
you
voice
also
note. Yes, we also have a voice note that came through. We will touch on it, Mfundisi Swami. We will take it after your answer to this one. I think this text that Mr. Piri is saying there, Uguti, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight.
Yes.
I want to throw in the other scripture, Mfundisi Swami, because we are already there, you know. In Luke 22, Jesus himself, He says, he said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. So what are we to read from that scripture? Here we have Psalms. We're saying
I like that one.
Hey, we have Psalms, my pastor, where we have our hands have been taught for war, our fingers to fight. And we also have Jesus who's saying, oi, sell your possessions and buy a sword. What's going on here, Mfundisi?
Let's start with Psalms.
Okay.
Psalm 144 verse 1 speaks the same as Psalm 18 verse 34. Mm-hmm. I think it's verse 34. If I've not made a mistake there.
Mm-hmm.
They speak the same.
Mm.
That he trains my hands and my fingers to battle,
mm-hmm.
to war,
mm-hmm.
to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know that the psalmist was a fighter,
mm-hmm.
the main one.
Mm.
David was a warrior. Eh?
Yes,
he even shed a lot of blood. Eh?
Yes,
he was involved. He was involved also in the battles of the Lord.
Mm.
Where the Lord strengthened him,
mm-hmm.
and he could kill God, he could kill Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
Mm.
So it seems to me that in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
as we discussed the other time when we were discussing this thing,
mm.
in the Old Testament, God wanted to teach the lesson of justice.
Mm-hmm.
You remember our grace issue, our grace discussion, yeah?
Yes.
It had the justice part of it.
Yes.
Where we discovered that justice and mercy are united, are put together
mm-hmm.
in grace.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Grace does not divorce that justice.
Mm.
Grace does not divorce mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Grace puts both of them together. So in the Old Testament, God was emphasizing justice.
Okay.
Justice. Justice.
Mm.
So when the texts are coming like that, it's good also to check with Jesus.
Okay.
In terms of how he puts things. So before we exhaust Psalm 144 verse 1, Psalm 144 verse 1 just tells us that our God is able to help us handle our enemies.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He's able to help us handle our enemies. Mm. He's capable of dealing with them.
Mm.
When he wants us to fight, he teaches us how to fight.
Mm.
When he doesn't want us to fight, he fights for us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yeah.
When he wants us to fight, he teaches us how to fight.
With weapons.
When he doesn't want us to fight, he fights for us. Yes.
Ah. Okay.
So what's the best? To allow him to fight for us or to fight for ourselves? Or to fight together with him?
Together.
If we fight together with him, whom are we going to be fighting? For we have also been sent to preach to them.
Oh.
Shall we preach to them and also fight them at the same time? Hello? I've been sent to preach to people as a Christian. Jesus says, be the light of the world. Go preach all nations and baptize them. Are we going to baptize them and then begin also to shoot them?
But they are harming us, Mpundis.
You want to learn that Jesus says, let them harm you. Jesus says, let them harm you.
And take it.
Take it. Submit to harm. That's what he says.
Huh?
That's what he says. Submit to murder. Let them kill you. If they think they have killed you. Hello? If they think they have killed you, let them kill you. If they think that they have killed you, he's trying to say to you, they'll never kill you, even though they kill you.
I'm Fundis. Now that's confusing. How is it they never kill us, but they kill us?
Let's go to your text in Luke chapter 22.
Yes.
Which you wanted, verse 36.
But which I wanted.
Go buy the swords.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to start with that text, but I thought you should be the one bringing it.
Okay.
I really wanted to bring that text, but I said, let her bring it.
Yes.
This text of Luke chapter 22. This text is very interesting.
Okay.
I wanted to begin by telling you that the mistake that we do as Christians is to believe that what the Bible says must be done.
Huh?
The mistake that we make as Christians is that we teach each other that what the Bible says must be done. Go buy a sword must be done. Is that what Christ is saying?
Is he not saying that?
Who told us that he's saying that?
The Bible?
Who told us that he's saying that? Is it because it is written like that, then he's saying that? Because you see, sometimes we say, it is written, it is written, it is written, because Jesus said it was written. You have to ask the question like, yes, it is written. What does it mean? What did it mean then? What did it mean then? What did it mean then? When Jesus was saying it, what did he mean actually? What was he saying? You also have to read the verses above and the verse below, 36, 37, and 38. What do they mean? Yeah, 34, what does the verse 34 mean? So let me read it to you. Verse 35, Jesus asks, when I sent you without a purse, without a bag, and without sandals, did you lack anything? Mm-hmm. They said, no, we lacked nothing.
Mm.
Verse 36, but now He who has a purse had better carry it, and his bag too. And let him who has no sword sell his coat or cloak and buy a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 37. Why? Verse 37, I ask my question.
Mm-hmm.
Why swords now? That's my question. Why swords now? He says, for I tell you, what has been written in scripture must find its final sense or be fulfilled in me. He was classed even with outlaws, or he was counted among the rebels, or he was classed among criminals. For that which refers to me has its fulfillment, or in fact, all that concerns me comes now to its end, or yet everything written about me by the prophets will come true.
Mm.
Or he says, what has been written about me must be done. And in verse 8, they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He said to them, it is enough. Mm. Is he saying they are enough? Those two swords are enough. I'm going to use them. Or you are going to use them. Is that what he's saying?
He's saying the two swords in Fundis are enough. Don't give me the third one.
No. That's the problem of shallow Bible studies.
Hey.
Shallow Bible studies, they just pick what the Bible is saying.
Mm.
It has been written, and then they don't ask questions like what went on above this text and what's going on below this text.
Mm-hmm.
So to say to you, when Jesus says go buy the sword, yeah?
Yes.
Buy the swords. He's trying to say that when I sent you to preach the gospel, I didn't send you to fight.
Okay.
I sent you to preach.
Mm.
And I told you not to carry any provisions because I told you that the Lord, my Father, and myself are going to give you the provisions for the task which I've given you. Huh? Now he says, now it's my time to die. I'm almost dying. I'm about to die.
Mm.
You remember this was Thursday night at the communion service. It was at the communion service. He says, from here, I'll be arrested. From here, I'll be counted a murderer, like a criminal.
Mm.
I'll be destroyed between two crosses. My cross will be in the middle there.
Mm.
I'll be counted like a criminal.
Mm.
You get the point?
Yes.
So the situation is changing. It's now swords that are going to be attacking me. I'll be violently dealt with. So in your case, I am saying, go and buy the swords, meaning I will be counted with criminals. Become criminals yourselves so that I fit in. You get what he's saying? Go and buy swords because you are now criminals. Last time I sent you as preachers. Now you are criminals because I will be taken as a criminal. And you are also going to be counted as a criminals. Go and buy the swords. Because you are now criminals. So when you are carrying guns and other weapons, you are converting yourself into a criminal.
You
intend to commit crime against anyone who threatens your life.
Huh?
Jesus is saying, now they are going to take me as a criminal. So go buy swords so that I fit in properly. Among criminals.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Fundis, let me take this voice note. We have a voice note that has come through and the listener is itching. The listener is what itching, Mfundis. So I'm just going to read two texts that he said. He's saying that, and then after reading, I'm going to replay the voice note. He's saying that it's not what the Bible says, Mfundisi. Jesus said that, yes. Jesus said that when he said, "Uguti, you must go and buy swords," right? So let's take this for voice note, my pastor. Hope my systems all day miss they behave. So let's take a listen.
Hi, Zah and Mfundisi. It's good to hear from the good pastor. I've enjoyed our discourse the last time he was engaged with AWR. Look, I'm not quite certain if the pastor has shared a text. I don't know. Perhaps the pastor did share a text that would give reason why he is suggesting that it is forbidden for believers to carry weapons or to have weapons. However, perhaps you might want to remind the good pastor that throughout the formation of the nation of Israel, they were carrying weapons and they were using them. And God instructed them to use those weapons. They didn't kill all these nations they killed on their way to Canaan land with a word of prayer. No. They didn't kill them with fasting. They killed them with swords. They had to have swords on their way to Canaan land. And when they arrived in Canaan land, they didn't kill the Canaanites and all the nationalities that live in Canaan with a word of prayer and good fasting and righteousness. No, they killed them with a sword. They had to have a sword. Moses had to stand on top and raise his hands while they were engaged in battle. There was no pacifism at that time. There was battle. There was war. They had to win war. The general that was then, which is Joshua, he was a general of an army that had to wage war. When God gave an instruction to the Israelites to annihilate the Amalekites, that was annihilation, killing, bloodshed. The Bible says the prophet of God, the prophet, when Saul had failed to kill King Agag, the prophet of God, the Bible says, took out the sword from Saul and he cut the king, King Agag, into pieces right there. That was done by the prophet of God. And that was not done with a word of prayer. That was not figurative. It was literal. Jesus himself says, you must not go out there. Now, when he was sending his disciples to go and minister, as he is sending us today, he sent them to carry weapons with them because he knew that there would be things that would require them to defend themselves. There would be circumstances that would require them to defend themselves. And that defense was done using a sword. And hence Jesus said, you must have a sword. If you don't have a sword, buy one. Sell your piece of clothing. Sell your belongings in order for you to have an actual sword. So this idea of not having a weapon is unbiblical, quite frankly. To go against the instruction of God, I don't know what would make that anyone to go against the will of God. How would a Bible-believing Christian go against the instruction of Jesus to have a weapon? In the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, when they were rebuilding the temple, the Bible says on one hand they had a sword and with the other hand they used to build. I'm not quite sure how the pastor could go against the instructions of God and say we should not, and yet God did say you must have a weapon throughout the ages in the New Testament and the Old Testament. I'm not quite sure. Maybe the pastor did clarify this while I'm still recording my comment. Kindly help me understand here, Pastor.
comments and points.
That's very good. I mean, he has very good arguments. Very, very good arguments. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think from verse 1 down, it says there is time for everything.
Hey.
And it comes and mentions that there is time for war and there is time for peace. Mm. There is time for war and there is time for peace. I would like to propose to him that the Old Testament was rife for war. Mm. It was a good time for war before Jesus was born. It was a very good time for war. Because God was raising a nation, the nation of Israel. Mm. And he was raising it against the nations of the heathens. Mm. The nations that had crossed their bar of probation. Mm. And they had to be rooted out of this earth by genocidal situation that was created by God himself. Mm. He mandated that I don't want to see those ones. I don't want to see those ones. I don't want to see. And they went out to destroy them at his order, at his command.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come to the New Testament, Jesus brings a different way of life.
Okay.
And he's not contradicting himself. He's simply saying, blessed are peacemakers, because they'll be called children of God.
Mm.
Matthew 5, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew 5, verse 38, he says, you have heard that it was said, eye to eye, tooth to tooth.
Nail to nail.
Eye to eye, or eye for eye, tooth for tooth.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hear what I say to you. Don't resist evil. Verse 39.
Mm.
Matthew 5, verse 39. Mm. Don't resist evil. Or don't resist evildoers. If they slap you on the left cheek, on the right cheek,
turn the other
one. Offer the other cheek also to be hit. Verse 40. If they take your shirt, give them your coat as well, your jacket as well.
Ew, Jesus.
Verse 41. If they force you to go 1 mile, offer to go 2 miles for them. If they say, let's go 4 kilometers, give them 5 kilometers.
Even when you're tired.
If they want to get what, if you want to get, if they want to get what you own, let them have it plus more.
Ew.
If they want to borrow, don't tell them that you don't have when you have. Or don't even lend them, just give them. So, in verse 43, he says, you heard that you should love your neighbor but hate your, you should love your neighbor but hate your enemies.
Yes.
That's what they say. Verse 44, he says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. Verse 45, so that you are true children of your Father who is in heaven. And then he says in verse 46, what reward are you going to get if you befriend yourself to friends and relatives? You need to love your enemies, not just friends and relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you love your friend, how different are you from a heathen who has friends too?
Mm.
Those who are not Christians have friends as well.
Yep.
You should go beyond what they do.
Mm.
So, as Christians, we need to be unusual, extraordinary, the way Jesus was. So, the friend of mine who has given us that audio has done a very good job, and he has told us the truth about what was taking place in the Old Testament.
Okay.
But that was the time. That was the time.
Mm.
Not in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has taught the character of God.
Yeah.
The true character of God.
Mm.
And he has not allowed us to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mfundisi, as we, there's another comment that has come through. The listener is quoting the book of Matthew 10, verses 34 to 36. It says here, Jesus said,
yes.
Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against a mother, and a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of his own household. As you said, Mfundisi, that, you know, we read things and we think they mean something, and they don't. Me, I'll put it to you, Pastor. What then do we take, or what then do we read from Matthew 10, where Jesus himself said that, me, I bring a sword, but the scriptures, Pastor, that you just read on the book of Matthew 5, you know, Jesus is speaking about peace. But when we go down the chapters, he's saying, me, bringing a sword.
now that's why it is very important to read also above that text.
What's there? As I open
what's
up.
There? In verse 16 of Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 16. It says, I send you as a sheep among wolves.
Drops mic. We can close Mfundisi.
Yeah. I send you as what? As the sheep among
wolves.
Among wolves.
Mm.
Among wolves.
Mm.
You are like prey among carnivores.
Mm.
You are going to be swallowed alive.
Mm.
Or be eaten in pieces, be chewed.
Mm.
He simply says, be shrewd as a serpent and innocent as doves.
Mm.
But I've sent you like sheep among wolves.
Mm.
So if you are a sheep among wolves, are you going to eat wolves or wolves will eat you?
Will eat you. They will eat you.
If wolves will eat you. So Jesus is saying, I am feeding you to wolves.
Mm.
They will consume you.
Mm.
So in verse 17, he says, they will send you to courts.
Yep.
And they'll scourge you. They'll scourge you. They'll whip you in their synagogues. And he's saying, I will allow you to go in those courts, even if you stand before the leaders of the world, in order for you to testify about me, Jesus.
Mm.
So they'll be abusing you while they get the story about Jesus.
Yep.
So he's interested in his own image in the world while you are being destroyed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For his name. So he says, don't prepare beforehand what to say in the courts. In verse 19.
Mm.
Don't prepare what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit will give you what to say.
Mm.
So don't pre-arm yourself with statements to say before people who are going to judge you. Mm? Mm. In verse 20, he says, the Holy Spirit will speak for you.
Mm.
And then from verse 21 to 23, he's saying, they are going to murder you. They're going to persecute you and kill you.
Mm.
For my name, you'll be killed.
Mm.
So are you going to be killed while fighting?
Hey.
Oh, are you going to be killed by food? Are you going to be killed for Jesus while you are shooting? Is that what Christ is saying? Take guns, take your swords, so that as they attempt to kill you, you also kill them. Is that what he is saying?
Hmm.
Let's reason together there. Let's reason together there.
So
I know that there are pastors like me who have weapons in their houses. And they drive around with weapons in their cars.
Mm.
Even here in my country, there are people who have weapons in their homes.
Mm.
And they are pastors.
Mm.
They are leaders. They are workers. Because they are getting ready for an attack one of these days.
Mm.
How they shall be able to respond. Is that what Christ is teaching? That you should be ready to respond against any threat. Is that what he's teaching? When you come to verses 24 to 27, he is saying that what they do to me is what they also do to you.
Mm.
You are not higher than me.
Yeah.
I'm your master. You are simply my disciples. So if they have done this to your master, killing him, crucifying him, molesting him, persecuting him, jeering at him, bullying him, and so on, are they not going to do more to you? He is teaching you that what he went through, you must also go through.
Mm.
So from verse 28 to 23, he is actually saying, don't fear those who kill you.
Yeah.
Because even as they kill you, God is watching.
Mm.
Even as they kill you, God is watching. Your God, your Father in heaven is watching that you are being killed. You remember we talked about Stephen the other day?
Yes.
You remember?
Yes.
Stephen was stoned in the presence of God.
Hmm.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, but being crushed by stones. Did he retaliate?
Ah, he should have pulled out a sword. What
was it? Tell me now, if he had that sword. Tell me now, if he had that sword, was he going to be different from those that were stoning him?
Mm.
If he had that sword, was he going to be different from those that were stoning him?
Mm.
And even let me ask you another question. If Stephen had a sword, would he be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Ah, Pastor, you're opening another one now.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, that question is bringing up another topic. Hi, Pastor.
Don't bring that topic.
Don't bring it now.
I'm simply asking a question.
Okay.
If Stephen was carrying a knife or a machete or some other kind of weapon, a gun or something, and was shooting some of the people that were stoning him, would he also be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Hey.
Because he was full of the Holy Spirit when he was dying. He even said, I see heaven opened. Would he see heaven open with a gun in his hands? Could heaven be open for that gun?
So, Mfundisi.
Jesus now is saying, in verse 34, he's saying, I did not come to bring peace. I did not bring peace here. I have brought a sword. I have brought fighting. I've brought opposition. In other words, the victims of this fight are my sheep. And the ones murdering them are the wolves. So I have set you as a sheep among wolves.
So Mfundisi, I'm happy you see that box you were opening, ne? We were able to close it fast because it was going to make me now to have a two-hour show and I'm about to wrap up now. So as we close, Mfundisi, I know there's one listener who's really, you know, wants to go with you, but no, I have to wrap it up now. So Pastor, in essence, are we saying that we are sheeps? We must, I'm just putting it in my way. We must be mindful when we are having these weapons. As in, what are they going to say about us as children of God, right? Because we do know it's a fact. Even as you said that, even pastors, they do carry guns. They do carry a okap. I don't know what's an okap. You see that knife you open like this?
Knife, that one.
Yes, yeah. You see, they even have those particular knives that we know that they are for defense or humming and stuff like that. So are we to end this conversation, Mfundiswami, and saying that be mindful how it's going to portray you when you are having the guns, when you are having those pocket knives, because we are doves. We shouldn't be having them because Christ has taught us otherwise.
That's exactly what we are saying. That Christ has taught us to be peaceful. Not peaceful like pacifists.
Okay.
You know pacifists?
Mm-hmm.
Pacifists are protesters who are saying, let's protest without violence. We are not like that. That's politics.
Okay.
But we are children of God who are peaceful, who have been taught not to retaliate, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 19 and so on. Don't retaliate. Don't fight back because you have an avenger who is in heaven. He's going to retaliate for you. He's going to retaliate for you. When you die innocently, he is watching your death, and he's making sure that you are not dead to him. You are dead to them that have killed you. But to him, you are alive forever.
Bundis, thank you.
Now, because you are saying we should go,
you need to
have a second phase of this program because
yes.
I had a lot, you know,
Yeah.
In fact, if you make it a program for 7 days, 14 days, 30 days, or 6 months, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot to discuss on this one. Because
if you talk about peace,
that's the result of grace.
Okay.
It's the result of grace.
If
grace is operational, then the person who has grace inside him will be very peaceful. Very peaceful. He'll be like Jesus himself. Peace-wise. Very peaceful. So I had a text which you sent me on my WhatsApp. You sent me Isaiah 2 verse 4. So I wanted us to discuss that one, but let's leave it for the next time.
Yes, Mfundisi, because I can see I have listeners that are yearning for part two. So Pastor and my listeners, wait, the next time I'm on air, it's not kids' perspective. So we are going to have Pastor back. Pastor, I'll text you. So we're skipping the next Friday. The Friday that's coming there, then me and you can have Pastor around too, because someone is asking, like, what about Samson? But let's end it there, Fundis. Let's end it there, my Pastor. We're going to. Yes. So as we end, my Pastor, I'm going to ask that please do close with for us in a word of prayer.
Word of prayer.
Yes.
Father in heaven, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to teach us that we are children of God. And as himself, he's your child, he's your son. Create him in us, Lord, Father. Make us your true children who are not going to retaliate, who are not going to fear death, who are not going to fear those that kill the body, but cannot kill the life that is in us of Jesus, the life of Jesus in us, or our life in Jesus cannot be killed by them. Help us not to fear death. There is nothing to fear when we are in you, Lord. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through. Part two is loading. So thank you so much, my Pastor. May you have yourself a blessed, blessed day.
We can have part 2, 3, 4, 7.
Amen, amen.
No problem.
To our listeners at home, there was Pastor Chiwanda there. So we're just going to take a quick break, because I can see Pastor Munga is already ready for us. So if you're watching on Facebook, do just join back again, because Pastor Munga is coming through. We're speaking about all things grieving the Holy Spirit.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.